The It's Time for Coffee podcast is powered by the Converge Podcast Network. Welcome to It's Time for Coffee. I'm Jeanette Tapley, your host and internet bestie. Here on It's Time for Coffee, we will help each other find joy, sisterhood, and lasting friendship. We are all about Bible-based love and teachings to help us grow into the friends we long to be and to nourish the relationships that we already have. Now, I'm not a theologian or a Bible scholar. I'm just your pal, Jeanette, here to help you and encourage you. Join me each week as we sit down with a friend to be encouraged and reminded that we are heard, valued, and never alone, no matter what season we find ourselves in. So grab your cup, fill it up, because friend, it's time for coffee. Hey, welcome to It's Time for Coffee. I am so glad that you're here. I'm Jeanette. If you're new here, welcome. I'm so glad that you're here. And if you've been here a while, man, I'm so glad that you're back. This is such a fun thing for us to do, just to sit and have coffee together week in and week out. And I just really love the conversations that I get to have and the conversations I get to share with you. I think today's conversation is going to encourage you in a really awesome way. I am joined by a new friend, Monica DeCristina, and we are talking about rest, slowing down, and how to know when it's time to slow down. What signs are there in our life that we need to slow down? And then how do we do it? How do we actually put the brakes on and slow our lives down? It is something that's so needed, but so hard for us to do. So I am so glad that she's here with us sharing her expertise. She is a licensed therapist, author, and podcaster, just like myself, not the licensed therapist part, but the other two. And her podcast is called Still Becoming, and she runs a private practice out of Atlanta. Man, I'm just so, so thankful. So grab your cup, fill it up with whatever you want, and let's dive in. Hey, y'all. I'm so excited to be sitting down with Monica DeCristina. We're going to have a really, I'm excited about this chat because it is a deep chat about our mental health and our well-being. Monica is a licensed professional counselor with over 15 years of experience. That is bananas. And so I'm just really thankful. Monica, thank you for joining us for coffee today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here with you and to get to know you some and to talk about all of this great stuff.
Yes. What is in your cup this morning? Are you drinking anything?
I am. I am right to the right of me. You can't see. What you will see me drink is a big tumbler of water. And my kids always make fun of me. I'm like that. You know, in my big fat Greek wedding, how the dad always has Windex for everything? I'm that way with water. Like, I'm a big hydrator. So right now it's water. Before that, it was coffee.
I think that's the best because my kids are like, I have a headache. I'm like, did you drink water?
Exactly.
That's yes, always, that's the first question exactly. I ask them. Like, mm-hmm. You have to drink a whole glass of water and
same.
Then we'll talk.
Mm-hmm. So funny. Exactly. I'm the same, exact same way.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Monica, will you tell us just a little bit about yourself and then just like your heart for yeah. our listener?
Yeah, absolutely. So I am a mom. I have three kids. I have a 13-year-old, a 12-year-old, and an 8-year-old. I have a puppy named Sweetie, and my husband and I live in Atlanta. And we spend most of our time when we're not working or doing other things, walking our dog. It's become our new thing, which I kind of had a bunch of eye rolls about before the pandemic. Now it's like my favorite thing to do. And I have a private practice in Atlanta where I see couples and individuals. And on top of that, I have a heart and a big part of the work I do is my podcast, Still Becoming, and then also articles for different publications. And I have a book called Postcards from Adulthood, which is just like a little meditative book of different things that I wish I had known, you know, when I was younger. And it's just kind of, you know, from the adult self to ourselves now or to our younger selves.
That's so good. Before we started recording, we were talking about slowing down and meditating. And as a licensed therapist, I want to know your thoughts on this because you're seeing couples, you're seeing individuals. What, mm-hmm. Where are we struggling to slow down? Even that like question, like how do we slow down is a funny question, but like where are we struggling to slow down the most?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that you know, one of the things we were talking about before we press record too is just all the content out there. I think one of the ways that we are struggling to slow down is that we always have something on. So whether we're texting a friend, whether we're calling a friend on our commute or in the carpool line, or we're listening to these amazing podcasts, which are such a resource, I think that without any stillness or any quiet, it can become really overwhelming, and things that are resources can kind of take away. So I think that's one big area that I see for sure, is that it can feel overwhelming. Well, this person's saying this and this person's saying this, and it kind of can get dizzying for people.
Yeah. And honestly, for me, when I think about like consuming content, when I think about like even taking a shower with no audio or no sound or anything like that, I think about like, well, I could be using this time to learn, or I could be catching up on this.
Yeah.
Because we have so much thrown at us, and it's not a bad thing. It's, to me, honestly, it's a self-control thing.
No.
But it's, we just have this desire to like continue to learn or grow or change or shift or anything. Why are we this way?
Yeah. Well, I think just like anything, something really good and beautiful and positive, if it's out of balance, can work against us, you know? So this desire to learn and grow, if it becomes a desire to numb and distract ourselves from our own feelings or our own lives, that's when it becomes an issue. You know, so I think kind of keeping it in balance, and am I avoiding the conversation with my spouse? Am I avoiding thinking or praying through this thing that I'm worried about by listening to this? Or am I listening to this because I'm so excited about this guest and this topic, and this is going to help me grow? So it's kind of maybe a little check-in kind of helps sometimes too, if we tend to overconsume.
Yeah, that's good. What are some telltale signs of us numbing out?
Oh, that's a great question. I mean, you know, I'm sure you've heard this before, but scrolling, you know, and scrolling has become such a sign of that, because when you scroll, so you can't see my hand, but if you scroll through social media or even just through a news feed, you're not even stopping to engage. You know, there's nothing wrong with social media or even the news or whatever, if you're engaging in it emotionally, mentally. But when you're scrolling, you're just watching everything. And so I think that that's a telltale sign for sure.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think that I see myself in that, and I can tell like when I'm feeling a little bit more anxious, I'm like, oh, I've been on my phone a lot.
Yeah.
Because it's not fixing a problem. It's really just kind of stuffing it down until my body's like, hey, we need to talk.
That's such a great description. And that, I think, I love when people describe, and this isn't an original thought to me, but I love using it too, is anxiety can be a messenger, which, you know, it really can. Like when you can't ignore it anymore, it's time to listen. You know, what's going on? What do I need? What am I missing? What am I not attending to? What am I worried about? You know, so really checking in with that.
So as a counselor, how do you, like, what are some, basically I'm like, Monica, let's have some counseling here for me.
Love it.
What are the first questions that we need to ask ourselves as we kind of process these feelings? Like, as we're like, oh, I'm numbing out. What are some like the first questions that we can ask ourselves to like dive into like what's actually going on?
Oh, that's such a good question. I think one of the first ones that occurs to me is, what am I running from? What don't I want to feel? What am I scared of? Who am I worried about? And all these questions, asking them without judgment, because oftentimes we're moving towards numbing because we're in sort of a bit of a shame spiral. We don't feel good about something, or we don't know how to deal with something. So when we ask ourselves these questions, we want it to be like a loving invitation, not a, what are you avoiding? But more of a, hey, what is it? You know, just like if someone listening is a parent, just like you would say to a little kid that's worried, you know, you would bend down and you would say gently, like, what is it? You know, what's going on? I think just that gentle, curious check-in. I love to talk about curiosity without judgment, because I think that really feels a lot more like love, right?
Yeah, and I think you're right, because I think most of the time, if I'm like, what's going on? It's coming from that, like, frustrated, like, you should be better. You know how to handle this.
Yeah.
Instead of a like, mm-hmm. okay, what are we feeling? Totally. What are we walking through?
Mm-hmm. Yes, totally. And that should word that also starts with the same letters as shame is, you know, those are typically really, really tied together. You know, you should is, you know, shame encompasses your whole identity, whereas conviction or guilt is very specific. And so should also has that same spirit, you know, because it's without context. Like you should be doing this. Well, maybe there's a good reason why you're not. And you just kind of need to understand that first to make different decisions.
Yeah. Over on my other podcast, Moms at Work, I say a lot, and I have to say it very like carefully because I never want anybody to think I'm like swearing, yeah. but we have to stop shoulding on yeah. ourselves. And that like I'm yes, really careful even. Slowly.
Yes.
Yes. I'm really careful even with how I say it to my kids. Even just how I say like, oh, we should do that. It's like, no, we're not going to should here. We are going yes. to change that language.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. I love that. I love that phrase and just that gentle reminder and even the humor in it like helps us kind of move out of that shame and rigid and judgmental place that just doesn't really serve us. I mean, research shows that people don't grow by being shamed, you know? And so it's not even a good tactic.
Yeah, man, I'm looking even just as you're saying that, like parenting and how often mm-hmm. in our struggles mm-hmm. I parent out of that frustrated, like you should be doing this, like, totally. Or that like shame totally. Aspect of like, mm-hmm. ugh, you did this. So now this is your consequence. I'm just at like, I'm being totally real yeah. here. Like that is something mm-hmm. that I've been struggling with so much. Mm-hmm. How can I change that? How can I turn that around?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, I want to say that we all struggle with that. I mean, I think every single parent struggles with shaming parenting. I think that it's just a really normal knee-jerk reaction. Sometimes we even shame because we're scared, because yeah. we don't want our kids to have a negative experience in life. We're like, don't do that, you know, because we're trying to protect them. Yeah. And so I think this is going to be an annoying therapist answer, so brace yourself. But I think that one of the places to start is really with not shaming ourselves, that there is truth to kind of what's in your cup spills over. And so I think if we are shaming our kids, which again, we've all done, you know, myself included, we've all done this and we all do it. What's going on with us? Are we feeling, you know, are we in that sort of tense, judgmental place with ourselves? Or are we just exhausted? Are we depleted? Right? Are we scared? Like I said before, I think these are really common reasons besides your own family of origin. You know, maybe that's how you were taught and you have to completely learn a different way. These are really common reasons that you can kind of tick through and say, okay, which one of these or all the above are contributing to me, you know, shaming while I'm parenting.
That's so good. And I think that I can look at mine and be like, man, my shoulding and my shame parenting is coming out of like a space of fear mm-hmm. because of the world that we live in or because of the things that I'm afraid they'll mm-hmm. get into kind of thing. So I think that like even just talking about that, like I think fear is a mm-hmm. big driver for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that you're not alone in that either. I think it is for all parents and it's because we love our kids so much, you know, and that, you know, that comes back to that gentleness and curiosity, right? We're only afraid because we love them so much and because the idea of them suffering just, you know, really hurts us.
This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network and is sponsored in part by
Hey, I want to break in real quick to tell you about a book I think you're going to love. Have you ever wondered what was Jesus thinking when he commanded people like us to help him save the world? Well, you're not alone having this fear. Trust us. The Barna Group, together with the Navigators, researched this and found that there are a lot of people out there who are worried that they would mess up sharing the good news about Jesus. Now, Alice Matagora invites you to enter Jesus' plan to save the world wherever you are. She understands our anxieties because she has experienced them too, and she has helped us break down barriers, pointing you and me to the joy of engaged discipleship, which is to know Christ, to make him known, and to help others do the same. Wherever you are on your disciple-making journey, this is the calling and promise Jesus has given each one of us. No matter where you are, who you are, or what you do, you can join God in saving the world right where you live. So pick up a copy of How to Save the World and start feeling better about sharing the really good news of Jesus Christ right where you're at. Okay, back to today's episode. Okay, one of the things I love about counseling and about our mental health is that there's healing in these journeys, right? It's not just that we stay at the depths forever. Mm-hmm. Like we're talking about the shaming and the shoulding and the fear.
Yeah.
There's healing and hope. And so in your podcast, Still Becoming. And so tell me about like just the healing mm-hmm. journey and the hope that's there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think that, you know, part of why I chose the word still and still becoming is because it's continuous, you know? And so I think that there is always hope, you know, there really, really is. And I think that, it's incremental. I think sometimes it's three steps forward, two steps, back, you know? And I think that, the more we can sort of be merciful with ourselves about that sort of cyclical nature, sometimes it looks like a graph going up and down, but moving forward. So I think that, you know, healing and hope are kind of build on each other, but also is never just a full linear version. And I think that's where some people get discouraged as they see, you know, I love using Instagram. I think it can be a great resource, but also it can make things seem too tidy and too linear. You know, and I think that that's a really important thing to say about healing and hope is they're not always linear and they're really often really messy, you know, and sometimes healing involves really hard decisions about relationships that are no longer healthy for you or things that don't really work for you or that you don't want to do anymore. So I would say that healing and hope are obviously that's the work I'm in and it's always still happening, but it's but to just be gentle and expect that it's not a linear process.
Yeah. I love that because it's one of those things where we could should ourselves and say like, I've learned this, I should change, or I should mm-hmm. have this and I should have this down now, or totally. I dealt with this in writing. We often talk on the podcast, mm-hmm. we often talk about books and everything and how we, God counsels us over the keyboard, right? We live our story and then we mm-hmm. write our story. And then as we're telling our story, God's like, yeah. Hey, let's talk about this again. And you're like, no, I already canceled that moment out. We don't need to go over it again. And he's like, one more time.
So true.
It's so true. And so it's just like that again and again, kind of like lessons we learn from our past or for our future. And so I just love that even in kind of reopening our hurts and our past that we're still learning and growing. I was just talking to a friend who lost his mom. And I was telling him about like my losses and stuff. And I asked him if he was going to counseling and he said, soon, I just got to, you know, kind of get through the summer. And I was like, I get that.
Yeah.
And he said, have you gone to counseling? I said, I have, I love it, man. It's so great. I said, counseling for me looks like, it felt like going into the attic of my heart and my brain and sorting through boxes. Like, okay, what needs to stay? What needs to go? Let's pack this box back up and set it aside. And he was like, oh my gosh, I love that. And so that's what it looks like to me because sometimes we have to go back up and we get to clean those boxes out again and again and again.
I love that metaphor. I've actually talked exactly about cleaning out your closet and sorting. I love that. It's one of the things I talk about all the time. I could not resonate more with that because I think that it's a big part of it is organizing your story. Because when it's all sort of a mess up in the attic, right, to use your beautiful metaphor, we don't know what to do with it. What does it mean? You know, how did this impact me? What things do I want to toss? What things do I want to keep? And you're right. Sometimes we revisit them and decide, you know what, I did keep this for a couple of years, but I think I'm ready to let go of it. Yeah. Love that so much.
So good. As you have counseled people through the last couple of years, we've seen marriages through this pandemic kind of suffer and fall. What are some things that we need to be doing to protect our marriages? What are some things that we can do to revive our marriages? And yeah, let's just talk, let's talk marriages real quick.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I do about half my practice is marriage. And the pandemic is, you know, and I'm not saying anything about my clients personally, but just in general, yeah, knowing a lot of therapists, the pandemic is hard. It was so hard on marriages. And of course it was, right? Because, you know, if there was a hurting spot, well, you could never get away from each other. If, you know, the normal distractions, even like the friend group that kind of made it, you know, gave you guys a break from the tension that you had, people didn't get that break. And so I think, you know, there's protecting and reviving, I think, are two really specific things. And also, you know, really play on each other. I would say for protecting, two things come to mind. One is, you know, and this one's going to be obvious, but sometimes the obvious things are still true, is making time to connect face to face, you know, really remembering who each other are. And this can be as small as, you know, I mentioned, I like walks. It's one of the things my husband and I really did when we had three kids in the house, we're working in the house, we would go on walks, and it was like a mini date or a mini reconnection. So that time alone is so important. And then the second one about protecting that plays into that is remembering that you're on the same team. I think so often when marriages are hurting, we really have picked different teams. We're on a different side now, and one's the enemy, the other's the enemy. But if remembering that we're on the same team can really, it's not easy to do, but it's an important part of protecting. And then we can talk about reviving, of course, too.
Yeah. And I think that's so good. We actually just went on a date last night, and it was one of those moments where it was like, we started talking about some hard kids stuff, and it was like, you know what? It's not the time for this. Like, this is about us. This is about like our time together. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so it was that intentional spot. And during the pandemic, we started playing, we'd go off to the table and like not let our kids come with us. And we would play Monopoly Deal and drink a glass of wine. It was so fun.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. I love that. It's like your little game night, adult game night.
That's right. That's right. Let's talk a little bit about reviving then. Like what's a great way to revive?
You know, I think that, you know, exactly kind of the way you're describing is going out, if you can, which isn't always possible, you know, spending time one-on-one. I mean, I think that, having some time to remember what you liked about each other, you know, so for some people, they, you know, they met because, you know, they really loved music. Some people met in all different settings, but what is it that really brought you guys together? What was sort of some of the original spark? Cause that gets buried in work, in kids, in a pandemic, in so many very understandable and realistic things. But what is one thing that you guys really, really, maybe it's you love trying new restaurants, that you love ice cream. It doesn't have to be complex or fancy, but what's something that could be a joyful thing that the two of you together could put down all your adulting for one afternoon or one evening and just remember the enjoyment of each other? You know, maybe you like home decorating, you know, maybe go to a design store. I don't know what it is for everybody listening, but I think that's one of the ways. And then another way, and this is like the nerdy therapist in me, but is to read a book together. You know, there's so many good marriage books. There's so many different things, and that can really spark a lot of appreciation for each other, a lot of good conversations, you know, because oftentimes when our marriages don't feel good, they're kind of at the surface level, the deep connecting that we all crave and we're made for, that makes us feel alive and loved and like we belong. That kind of gets just goes to the wayside with just normal life. And especially during a pandemic is so much survival mode. So even just like something helping you guys spark that conversation, like a book or a podcast, can really, really take you back to that deeper place.
I love that. That's so good. One of the things that sparked us yesterday was our middle kiddo asked us how we met. He's like, I know your story, but like who made the first move, or how did you guys actually like start hanging out? And it was so fun to like tell him the story and like both of our perspectives. And it was just, so we went on our date kind of fresh out of that, like, oh, we have such a cute love story. And it was really sweet.
That's such a beautiful and tangible example, you know, to even just revisit that story. Cause, you know, sometimes when couples are in a really hard spot, sometimes therapists will ask, you know, like, why did you fall in love with this person? Like what, you know, at the beginning, like, what do you remember? What drew you to this person? Cause we forget, you know, it just gets buried and we forget.
Absolutely. I love that. I think that's all such good advice. And just to remember that our marriages are sacred and important. Like they're worth kind of chasing and saving. Mm-hmm. So, Monica, I'd love to hear more about your book, Postcards from Adulthood. Tell us just like, what does this look like?
Yeah.
Like, where's your heart behind it?
Sure. Yeah. So it's like a little gift book is what I call it. I'm working on another bigger book, but it's a little gift book and it's just, it's, you know, just sort of like daily little, you can read it daily. A lot of people have told me they read it one in the morning with coffee, which has really made my day. But just like, you know, I think that so often, we head into adulthood with a lot of assumptions about ourselves or about the world that we never question. And having been a therapist for this long, unfortunately, a lot of the assumptions about ourselves are filled with pain or just a lack of really knowing our worth or a lack of feeling the courage to be our truest, fullest self that we were made to be. And so it's in that kind of spirit of you're an adult now, you know, I mean, it's written for adults. You're an adult now. You get to choose, you know, what am I going to believe? Am I going to believe this old lie that I'm not good enough and not loved and not lovable because of that hurtful experience? Well, your pain is totally valid, but the conclusions that we make are often pain-filled and, you know, through that interpretive lens. And so it's just kind of some sweet and soulful reminders about those kind of ideas, about your identity, really, and that you get to choose to affirm what's true.
That's so, so good. And I want to know, what was like a moment of keyboard counseling for you as you wrote these reminders? What is something that God was like, hey, don't forget this. Like, let's go back over that one.
Mm-hmm. I love that whole idea that you're talking about. I think that's so cool. I would say worthiness. You know, when I first started, I've been a therapist for, you know, all these years that I've told you, but I didn't share my writing in the world for a long time, you know? And I think that was an embodied expression for me of believing that I was worthy enough to say something too. You know, so much of my work is behind closed doors and it's so sacred and private, and that's good. And I never want that to change.
Yeah.
But I think that's one thing that revisiting, like it takes, as you know, it takes courage to put your work out in the world. And part of that courage is believing that God made you that way. God called you to it. And that, you know, that it's okay to respond to that, you know, that it can look really easy on other people. You're like, oh, well, they're doing it and that's so great, but I could never do that, or I'm not worthy enough, or it's already been said, or I don't have anything to say. And so I think that definitely, you know, continued to come up for me.
That's so good. And it's so true. It's so hard to look around. I mean, and like we said, social media is a great tool and it's a great connector, but sometimes absolutely. It is like the crux of it all, where I'm like, everyone's doing this and or they're doing it better. Why totally. Would I even need to share my voice? Or, and uh-huh. it's that constant reminder from the Lord of like, I gave you a voice. I gave you a purpose. I need you to be obedient. And it's like, okay.
Yes. I couldn't agree more. And one of my best friends, that's a therapist too. We often teach together, and she always goes back to this something that someone told her years and years ago, which is, you know, something maybe you've heard before, but I go back to is if it helps one person, you know, and that, and that really, it's just one person that sees this today, it's worth it. You know, it's worth the discomfort it causes me to put my, you know, my thoughts out into the world. And so I think that kind of helps me take it away from that comparison, which we all get into.
Yeah. Yeah, man, that's so good. I just love that. I'm just thinking, like, we're big fans of counseling, obviously, over here. It's Time for Coffee. We love a good counselor. And I just I just want to know, like, if you could just hug and, like, kind of lean into our friends, like, what would be your biggest advice of, like, just go for it? Like, just get into that. Like, make that call or, like, take care of you. Or, like, what would you, like, if someone on the other end is just like, yeah, it's not for me, though. Like, what would you, like, hug and whisper in their ear kind of thing?
I would say, why not you? You know, why not you? Why not you? You, why not? I mean, and I was, it's so funny, the timing and of our rescheduling. I would literally just wrote an article about this exact thing this morning and about, which is amazing. And about just, you know, the fear of the starting line, you know, and how that's one of the things I've seen over and over again in therapy is that we fear what other people will think. It can feel, you know, vulnerability is like a really hot word that everyone uses now, but like, it doesn't describe how like awkward it actually is. Yeah. You know, it really feels awkward to do something new and to have people looking at you or having a say about it. And I think one of the things that can help is remembering the difference between connection and approval. You know, we confuse the two. We all need to have safe people that we're connected to. But sometimes we confuse that for approval. And so it feels really threatening to try something new or to go for it, whatever it is, or try that dream. So in addition to why not me, I would say, you know what? You can risk approval. You can risk it. As long as you have God, you have 1 to 5, that's what research shows we need, not a whole Facebook crew, 1 to 5 safe people who really know you and love you, you know, you can risk that disapproval, and kind of teasing those two differences out, I think helps. And, you know, it's so good on the other side of the starting line. You may not get the exact outcome you want, but you'll feel so much freer. You'll feel so much freer. And courage is contagious. It's contagious inside of you, and it's contagious around, you know, with the people around you.
Yeah. And courage and bravery is such, it's such a hard thing, but I look back at the Bible and how often God says, like, be strong, mm-hmm. be courageous, don't be terrified, like, mm-hmm. do not fear, and mm-hmm. all of those things. And I'm like, there's, mm-hmm. there's a reason that we live in today's day yeah. where we are kind of like constantly afraid, but there's a mm-hmm. reminder every single day, like, do not be afraid, do not be afraid. And yes. so I think that's what I would Absolutely. Say too, is like, just go for it, like, make the call, just get it.
Yeah. Yeah. And that do not be afraid, that is like a drumbeat always, you know, in the Bible, it, I think, is there. I agree with you. It's there also because we are so tenderhearted as humans, you know, even if you don't like those words and would not identify as tenderhearted, like, you know, humans get afraid, and that's normal. And to do it scared, you know, just do it scared. Like, that's what we're all doing, really, you know, on some level or another. You know, sometimes it's a 1, not that scared. Sometimes it's a 10, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I've said it before. One of my favorite quotes is from the movie We Bought a Zoo. And he says, all you need is 20 seconds of insane courage, and I promise you it'll change everything. And I just love that, because sometimes it is like that deep breath of like, okay, I'm going to send the big scary email. I just need 20 seconds of insane courage. Or I'm going to make the call to the counseling office. I just need 20 seconds of insane courage. I'm just going to be really brave or less than 30 seconds. That's all I need.
Yes.
And so that's, I think that's a beautiful reminder.
That is brilliant. I love that, because so often we're at minute 2, 3 or step 5, 6, 7, 8 that we are thinking about, and then we get frozen, right? I love that. Just to focus on that immediate courage. That's so good. So accessible.
Yeah. Okay, Monica, I want to know, what is it time for in your own life right now? What season mm-hmm. are you walking in? What is it time for?
Yeah. It's such a beautiful question. I would say that, you know, with my kids at the stage they're at, 13, 12, and 8, everybody's in school. Everybody is semi-functional, independent, you know, I mean, it's a very different stage than having really little ones, you know? And so there was so many dreams on my heart when I had really little kids, and it just wasn't time. That doesn't mean it's not time for other people. For me, it just wasn't time. And so I think where my kids are at this stage, the creative part of me, where I'm writing, creating the podcast, really taking my calling for healing, you know, which I really have felt, you know, that's from my own experience into becoming a therapist, really, really starting to move more and more into that creating. So the podcast, writing, different ways, because I always wanted to be an artist, but I don't know that I'm the most talented artist, to be totally honest. And that's not even like self-deprecating. It's just facts. But I love creating things. I think it's part of who I am, you know? And so I'm just moving into that season more of taking all this therapy knowledge. And I really have a heart for packaging it in ways that will never replace therapy, but will be accessible to people in other ways.
I love that. I love that. And I was just talking to some guys, and they're talking about Harry Potter.
Yeah.
That's awesome. It was just like the creator gave us the notion to create. And so we all have these different little ways that we create and ways that we can move other people, whether it's our words or our pictures or our voices in just some way, the creator has gifted us with that. So I love that you're saying like, yeah, we're going to continue to create because it feels good.
Yeah, totally. I feel more like myself when I create. And I think we all have something like that, you know, where we feel more like ourselves when we do fill in the blank, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I would just love to like leave that with our listeners this week. It's just like, what do you feel? Where do you feel most like yourself? Like, what is it? What is it that you're doing when you feel like, this is me? This is how I feel. I love that. Thank you for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Monica, where can our friends find you, follow you, get your book, all of the things? How can we connect with you outside of this podcast episode?
The best place is Instagram. Facebook, I cannot figure it out. I've just never really enjoyed it. So Instagram, I'm there, Monica DeChristina, and DeChristina does not have an H in it. It's D-I and then Christina. And then from there, it'll link you to my website, different articles, and then my podcast, Still Becoming. I also have an offshoot for kids called Still Becoming Kids that I made for my own kids and kids I know. That's just like calming for the adult child and all of us, but something that moms and kids and dads can listen to that they would all enjoy. It's really short and just calming. So I think that's the best place. Oh, and this new project I've been doing with someone is the Hear app. And so you'll find a link there, but that's something that that I've really been putting my heart into.
That's so great. I am so excited to hear more about that and to learn more about it. Monica, thank you for joining us. Thank you for this, like, really, I feel like it was like a deep but beautiful conversation. Thank you for just like walking us through that today.
Thank you so much for just making such a welcoming and kind place to sit and chat together. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you so much for joining us for coffee today. I'm so excited that you made time in your busy schedule to have coffee with me and my guest. If you want to connect on a deeper level, I hope that you will join our email community. The email community is a great way for us just to connect on a little bit deeper level. It's a place for us to email back and forth, to correspond about all things, and I hope that you will join us there. To make sure you never miss an episode, make sure you're following It's Time for Coffee podcast on your favorite podcast player. That way, each week when a new episode comes out, it'll pop right up in your queue and it'll be ready for you to listen to. And if you love today's episode, I would love for you to leave us a rating or review on your favorite player. You can just do that by hitting those stars or commenting about what you love about the episode. It makes my day and I read every single one of them. And I love hearing how we can meet you right where you're at. So thanks for doing that. And if you haven't already, go do it for me. I would appreciate it. Okay, friend, I'll see you next week when it's time for coffee.